The most important technology is not the hardware, not the software, it's the wetware, it's the human being.
Welcome to Pixelate Radio, on the web at getpixelated.com.
That's getpixel, the number 8ed.com.
Now, here's your host, Craig Shoemaker.
Hey, welcome back to Pixelate, and this is Craig Shoemaker. Hot off the heels of Mix 10, we're talking today about NUI, or the Natural User Interface. Today we're joined by Josh Blake, author of the upcoming Manning book, Multi-Touch on Windows. Now Josh has had scores of experience working with the Surface, and now he's bringing that research and insight to Windows and Windows Mobile 7 development. Make sure to listen carefully as we'll also hear bits from Mr. Bill Buxton, who encourages us to do what comes naturally. Now, the natural user interface, what is it exactly? Well, this whole episode is kind of dedicated to defining it and talking about how you can work within the confines of the natural user interface. If you look at the Wikipedia page, a NUI is defined as basically an invisible interface. It's something where as you take the natural actions and the natural tendencies of a user as it interacts with a system or a piece of software, it harnesses those natural actions so that the interface basically fades into the background of the hardware or the software. Now, what's kind of interesting about what's written there on the Wikipedia article is that, now granted, everything that it gives as examples is not completely inclusive. I mean, this it's not an exhaustive list of everything that would be given as an example of a natural user interface. But what struck me is that when you go to this page, it only cites three demonstrations of a NUI. It cites Jeff Hahn's demo at TED in 2006, which if you've seen this demo, it's basically what's implemented in Surface. He has this touchscreen application where he's manipulating these objects through a series of gestures with his hands. You have Microsoft Surface, which most anybody who listens to this podcast is probably fairly well familiar with, the coffee table type device that is multi-touch capable. And in fact, not only do you manipulate the interface with your hands, but it also will interact with devices through Bluetooth communication and on and on. But Surface is definitely an example of how to implement NUI applications. And then it cites Project Natal, which if you haven't seen the video for Natal, it's a little eerie. It's basically an Xbox that has no controllers. You stand in front of it. It recognizes your movement. It recognizes who is the active player. And this is truly the next leap forward from what we find in game consoles and the Wii and what we're used to. The thing that does strike me, though, is that these are the only three examples listed, at least in the Wikipedia page. So as you listen to this interview with Josh, and when you hear some of the comments by Bill Buxton, listen carefully and think about what you're building and think about how you can use these concepts, because we're at the dawn of this age of the natural user interface. We're right at the brink where people are starting to begin to see how these techniques can be used in real life. So who knows? Maybe you'll be the next NUI rock star. Here's Josh Blake.
Well, my name's Josh Blake, and I'm with InfoStrat in DC. And I have the luck of having the opportunity to work with Microsoft Surface starting about 2 years ago, and doing development on that and the multi-touch, natural user interface kind of style. And since then, we've kind of applied what we've learned doing Microsoft Surface to Windows 7 and WPF4. And so we're kind of expanding out what we're doing, and so giving this talk at Mix about some of the experiences and some of the ideas that I have, and some of the stuff from my book as well.
Okay. So can you give us an overview, if people aren't familiar with the term natural interface? What exactly is it, and what can they picture in their mind about it?
So the core thing to understand about natural user interface is unlike graphical user interface or command line, which are really defined in terms of kind of the hardware, the specific interface device, the mouse and keyboard. Natural user interface is not about the specific hardware. It's about the behavior of the interface, how the user interacts with it, And so Buxton was talking about in the keynote, and I'm going to be talking about kind of the same ideas. I derive my ideas from his research, so it kind of matches up. But about reusing existing skills. As humans, as part of the human experience, we have invested a lot of time to learn how we interact with the environment and how we interact with people, and various skills that we've used, the simple ones that we've used since we were toddlers, and more advanced ones that we've learned over time, programming computers, a complex skill. We've invested a lot of time into it, but we're also talking about things like just basic interacting with objects, or how you communicate with someone with gesture when you move your hands, nonverbal communication.
Which, if we were doing video, you could see what Josh is doing right now.
Yes. So if we respect the users and think about, they've spent a lot of time learning these skills, and once you learn the skill, it's much easier to use it. Most of the effort goes into the front end and learning it. We can reuse it, make use of the things they already know how to do, and so apply human-human and human-environment interaction into the human-computer interaction field. And so that's kind of the gist of what natural user interface is about.
So is basically the limitation, or what needs to really come next, is just the devices available in order to make it happen? Because when I'm thinking about the keynote interview, and for the people who didn't see it, Bill had this basically this synthesizer, which had the interface of a saxophone, and when he played it, he was able to play a guitar sound, a flute sound, just about anything he wanted. So does it come down to having devices that reflect the natural user interface?
Well, there's two kind of parallel developments, and this kind of change, or we're on the verge of revolution going from GUI to NUI, and that's happening both on the hardware and on the software side. So on the hardware side, we're seeing multi-touch screens, motion tracking like Natal, and of course Wii, better voice recognition and speech synthesis. All these things kind of add up to more options that we have to interact with the computers. So that's the hardware side, and that's always getting better, and there's breakthroughs all the time. On the software side, as software developers, software designers, UX designers, we have to think about how are we going to make use of the hardware that's going to come regardless. How are we going to make use of that and exploit the opportunities that it provides for us to create software for our users? And the software has a lot of different advantages. The lower cognitive load, and just better general intangible experience. So we kind of have to think ahead of where we are now, think about where's the hardware going to be next year, and kind of set ourselves up to be where we need to be when the hardware's available.
Okay, so by definition, can you not have a natural user interface with a keyboard and mouse, or is there a nuance there?
So that's a good question. When I was saying NUI is not about the input, I meant that. If the choice of what specific form factor and what hardware input or input device that you use, it depends on the context of where the users are going to be using it and how and what they're going to be doing. So that choice is based upon that, but you can still design these more natural interfaces regardless. So you could design a NUI with a mouse and keyboard, or a multimodal thing. Maybe you have some interactions that are better with a touchscreen, and then if you need to do precise placement positioning activities, you can use a mouse during those, but then go back to the touchscreen for the rest of the interaction. So there is room for kind of crossing over.
And, data entry, probably you'd want to use a QWERTY keyboard, but then navigation, perhaps you'd use touch or something.
Right. So heavy data entry, except for things like automatic scanning or, something like that to make it better. If you need to type in lots of text, keyboards are the best for that. And that's not going to go away. So we're not talking about getting rid of keyboard and mouse and GUI. This transition they're going through is very similar to the command line interface to GUI transition. And so if someone asks, is NUI going to replace GUI? The appropriate response might be, did GUI replace command line? And the answer is no. Command line is still around, and it's used for things that it's really good at. Batch files, system administration, some programming activities. You know, there's different things that command line's really good at. But once GUI became possible, and that's the hardware developments, and then the software kind of, the design of software caught up with what was capable with the hardware computer processors and graphic capabilities. So GUI became general purpose, and command line became specialized. Same thing now. We're still going to have GUI, but the world of computing is going to open up to a lot more people. There's going to be a lot more ways to interact with computers with all these different new input options. And so NUI is going to be the default general purpose, and then GUI is going to be relegated to the specialized activities where a GUI style or mouse or whatnot is the best for those kind of activities.
Because if you're taking the natural user interface definition seriously, then you would have to fall back on it for the like you're saying, the heavy data entry, because that is the natural skill that they've learned in that environment.
Exactly. If someone knows how to use the keyboard and that's the most efficient way to do it, then you know that's the natural way to do it. And like you said, with Bill Buxton said he wants to play flute with a saxophone or heavy metal guitar with a saxophone input. Since he's trained on saxophone, that makes sense. And so same thing with keyboard.
Now, in case you weren't at Mix, what Josh is talking about here is the keynote speech where Bill Buxton gave a demonstration of working with a computer using a user interface that he's most comfortable with.
So this is something called a WX7. This is my computer interface, and it's an electronic saxophone. Now, I happened to do my degree in music, and that was my instrument, was sax. This thing has the same fingering as a saxophone, so for me, this is a natural user interface. But on the other hand, doesn't sound like a saxophone. So you sort of say, well, that's not natural to have a flute sound come out of a saxophone. But if you think about it, that's not quite true, because it's natural for me because this is what I play. I don't play flute.
Now, I saw on Twitter that you had an opportunity to meet with Bill Buxton. Is there anything that you can share about your conversation with him?
Sure. So on Monday night at Mix, I organized what I called the NUI Mix-Up, and I just wanted to get together people who were interested in multi-touch and NUI and just kind of have conversations. And I invited Bill, and he graciously came, and so I had some interesting conversations with him that ranged from the Windows Phone interface to patent law to career advice and everything in between. And it was really amazing to sit down, and it wasn't just me, it was, you know, a whole group of us, but you know, just kind of absorb some of his knowledge and experience. And it was a very humbling experience too.
Was there anything in particular that stuck out to you that other people might benefit from?
I asked him a specific question. It's not about NUI so much, but more about kind of on a meta level with, you know, he's in Microsoft Research, and his very envious job of his job description is make a difference or something similar. You know, I asked him, so, you know, you're doing research and you have a lot of funding within Microsoft Research. And so how do we, you know, my company's, you know, fairly small, there's 50 or so people. How do we kind of push the envelope without having huge budgets for this big research wing? And, you know, his answer was really interesting because he has a way of kind of breaking through all the assumptions and getting right to the core argument. So my question kind of had a premise of, in order to do research, you had to have a lot of funding. He said, well, you don't need to have a lot of funding. You just need to have a focus on how are you going to push your, you know, this is in the context of business and companies and whatnot, you know, how are you going to push your product offerings forward or your service offerings forward? How are you going to compete in a few years from now? And if you're not investing in, and it's not just research, it's also taking existing things and applying it in a new way or combining things. If you're not thinking about how you can differentiate yourselves in a few years, then someone else is going to do it and it's going to be hard to compete. So that was kind of an interesting idea that he was talking about. So, you know, and one thing that I'm doing within InfoStrat is I'm trying to think about NUI and how do we take some of these ideas that we've learned with Surface and apply it to Win7 and then to whatever's next. I just like thinking about these things and figure out how we can apply it in new ways.
Tell me a little bit about your journey and some of the projects that you've been in. What are some of the concepts that you've learned while you've been developing these applications?
So my background, when I was in college, I did some research projects and as an undergrad, and did I created some video walls and some other non-traditional interfaces. And so I had a little bit of kind of background and ideas that I want to figure out what can we do if we really make use of the hardware and don't rely on just legacy of way of how we've been doing things. So when I got the opportunity to work with Microsoft Surface, that all kind of came back and said, this is awesome. We can start fresh with computer interaction. I think that some of the projects that we've worked on, with Surface, we've done things for both government, public sector, and private sector. And what we're seeing now is initially multi-touch and Surface is the initial use is more kind of like kiosks or interactive displays or conference booths. But we have to think about how we can apply that to normal everyday use. So instead of being just a one-off experience that people come up and use for 5 minutes, how can we take the lessons we've learned from that and apply it to, if you're using your computer for 8 hours a day using a NUI, what would that be like? So that's some of the stuff I'm kind of thinking about. And in my session, most people with the presentations, they use PowerPoint. And I figured if I'm talking about NUI, then, I want to walk the walk and really go multi-touch and NUI for the presentation itself. So I created a custom multi-touch presentation application that takes the place of PowerPoint. So I can zoom using a pinch manipulation, and so I have like natural user interface in this cool looking font. And when I talk about natural, I zoom into one of the letters and I have more content in there about what I'm talking about. So it's kind of contextual, and then I come back out. And the cool thing about the program, and I'm going to show this too, I didn't just make it all hard-coded. It's real. I made a tool that lets me create this presentation, and then I created the presentation. So I have the controls to create new images and text, and I have these containers or zones that I place things into and move them around. So,
are you by any chance going to put that code up on your blog?
I have not decided what I'm going to do with it yet. So, I'm not sure.
Well, if you release it in any way, let us know, because I'd love to link to it.
All right, will do.
Now, you brought up something, and this is a part of your talk as well, but what's the main difference between a manipulation and a gesture?
So, a lot of times when people are talking about multi-touch interfaces or other interfaces with body motion, it seems to be kind of a tendency to call everything gestures. And a lot of things are gestures, but when we as designers and developers should be aware that there's a subtle but important difference between a gesture and a manipulation. And there's a lot of overlap in the two. So I wanted to kind of focus on, I'm going to talk about that. What's the difference and what are the implications of when you should use a gesture and when you should use a manipulation? When should you kind of combine them both? So a gesture is a body motion that conveys a meaning, and when the body motion is complete, the meaning is apparent. So if you ask me, where's the restroom, and I extend my hand and finger and point in a certain direction, that's a gesture, and the meaning is the restroom is over there. The interpretation of the message occurs after the gesture is complete, so it's kind of all in one thing. If I kind of half extend my arm, it doesn't really have the same meaning as completing it. On the other hand, a manipulation is about body motions that directly change something in the environment. So whether we're talking about, you know, the human changing something in the real world environment or on the interface, dragging around a photo or something, you're manipulating. So a manipulation is direct and continuous, has continuous feedback, whereas a gesture is discrete. You have to complete it, and it may be indirect or may have some direct elements.
So if you're talking about a touchscreen interface, then basically just about everything you're doing at that point is a manipulation then, right?
And most of the things you do are manipulations. But so suppose we have an interaction where I'm touching an object on the screen and I drag it down over an image of a trash can and then I release. And that interaction has a manipulation and a gesture. So when I touch the object and I start dragging, that's manipulating. It's continuous feedback and it's moving around and following my action. I'm interacting with it directly as through manipulation. Then when I release it over the trash can, there's kind of contextual meaning. It's a little bit fuzzy. In the real world, you might put something in the trash can, but you know we're talking kind of there's a semantic meaning. If I leave this, I could drop it somewhere else and it'll stay there. But if I drop it over the trash can, it's special. And so that kind of drag and drop gesture, it may delete the item. Or even just something as simple as a tap. You tap on an item and something happens. Or double tap if that's necessary for special occasions. Those are gestures as well. Okay. You know, in real world, if I'm communicating with you nonverbally and I tap on this thing to call your attention to it, that's a gesture. I'm trying to tell you something. Same thing in the interface. So those are real simple gestures. And you also can think about complex things like suppose you draw a special shape like a question mark or do something fancy. And, you know, a lot of the kind of Tom Cruise Minority Report stuff. Some of those more advanced scenarios you want to reserve for times when either your users already know how to do those things from real world. So like the artist knows how to, smear the paint and you know, do different things reusing the existing skills. Or scenarios where you want to, where your users may transition from novice user using the basic manipulations or the very basic gestures like tap and provide a path for them to learn the more advanced things. So if you have maybe a gesture in your interface that does a particular task, think of it, you could think of it like a shortcut, like a keyboard shortcut. So if you have, in a GUI, you have Control C. That's equivalent of a gesture. But you also have the option of manipulating the mouse cursor up to a menu or a taskbar or a toolbar icon and pushing something. So you want to provide a way for people to manipulate their way to something to complete a task. Or you can also provide gestures as a shortcut for the more power users.
Now, in thinking about this movement or change, I guess everything kind of seems like it's in the future, but tell me what you see coming in the future for natural user interfaces. And also, with the hardware that we have available to us right now, what do you see that is possible today that people could be doing but really aren't?
Well, there's a lot of possibilities today. You know, the touchscreens are not ubiquitous yet, except maybe in the mobile realm. But the tools that we have available, especially with Windows 7 and WPF4, we can create a lot of really advanced scenarios, and people are doing that. So I've been talking to some of the other Surface partners who are also doing Windows 7 stuff, and people are doing some really cool stuff today. And one thing that I want to do, this reason why I wanted to write a book about it, is kind of get the word out to all the different developers out there. How do you do this stuff? How do you create natural user interfaces with these tools and APIs that you already know? You already know .NET. You already know C#. Learn a couple more APIs, and also learn about how to design GUIs, and then you can create some really amazing experiences.
So you mentioned the book. Tell us a little bit about what it's called and when it's due out.
So I'm writing Multi-Touch on Windows, and the subtitle is GUI Development with WPF and Silverlight. And the book is due out fall 2010. But if you go to the website, you can pre-order the book through the Manning Early Access Program, or MEEP, and you can read the chapters as I write them, so you can get a head start. And chapter one is also available for free, and has a lot of the stuff we were talking about GUI and the skills.
And then if people want to follow your blog, where's that at?
My blog is at GUI.joshland.org.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot for being with us today. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
So I guess the biggest question for NUI right now is what will the implementations be? Because we have all the technology. The hardware is either on its way or already here. We've got the software for it. What will be built? And, you know, there's a lot that goes into thinking about that, because if you think of like the canonical minority report type of application that we tend to think of when we think of NUI, while this might be perfectly acceptable for certain contexts, you know, I don't know if people will want to have something built like that for them if they're using it all day, 7 days a week, moving their arms around and doing all these things. Obviously, there's a place for that type of an interface, but there's other things that need to be considered as well, ergonomics and things of that nature. So I think what will have to happen is we'll have to push beyond what we think of when you initially think of as a NUI and take these concepts and really integrate them into the design process of our existing applications. Now, one of the areas that comes to mind when I think of NUI is the multi-touch mouse. And if you've seen this mouse, it has some cameras on it with some clear glass, and I believe there's a number of different hardware vendors that are coming out with this. And this really seems to be a way to take these concepts and bring it into something that could be applicable to a great number of people right now. So there truly is a lot of innovation around this, and it's exciting to see what kind of concepts will pop up in the future. Big thanks to Josh Blake for meeting up with me at Mix and being our guest on today's show, as well as Mr. Bill Buxton for his comments as well. This is Craig Shoemaker. Thanks a lot for checking out the show, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Pixelate Radio, on the web at getpixelated.com.
That's getpixel, the number 8, ed.com.
All rights reserved, copyright 2010.
Infragistics. On the web at infragistics.com.